Alone Together: Why We Expect More from Technology and Less from Each Other. Author: Sherry Turkle. Connectivity and its discontents. Online connections were first conceived as a substitute for face-to-face contact, when the latter was for some reason impractical. Technology now makes it easier to communicate when we wish to disengage at will. Relationships with robots are ramping up. Relationships with people are ramping down. We make our technologies and they, in turn, shape us. So of every technology we must ask, does it serve our human purposes? Telling robots from humans. Computers were intelligent machines. In contrast, people were emotional machines. But in the late 1990s, children met objects that presented themselves as having feelings and needs. As emotional machines, Tamagotchis and Furbies would tell you that they were hungry or unhappy. A Furby held upside down says, "Me, scared," and whimpers as though it means it. And these new objects found ways to express their love. As with the Tamagotchi, how a Furby is treated shapes its personality, and both presents themselves as visitors from other worlds. But Furbies are more explicit about their purpose in coming to Earth. They are here to learn about humans. But as children interact with sociable robots like Furbies, they move beyond a psychology of projection to a new psychology of engagement. They try to deal with the robot as they would deal with a pet or a person. Living online. Online, we feel enhanced. There is a parallel with the robotic moment of more. But in both cases, moments of more may leave us with lives of less. Robotics and connectivity call each other up in tentative symbolicis, parallel pathways to relation and retreat. With social robots, we are alone, but receive the signals that tell us we are together. Networked, we are together, but so lessened our expectations of each other that we can feel utterly alone. The new state of the self. Tethered and marked absent, most of the time we carry that technology with us. In fact, being alone can start to seem like a precondition for being together, because it's easier to communicate if you can focus without interruption on your screen. In this new regime, a train that is no longer a communal space but a place of social collection, people come together but do not speak to each other. Each is tethered to a mobile device and to the people and places to which the device serves as a portal. The new state of the self. Multitasking and the alchemy of time. Our networked devices encourage a new notion of time because they promise that one can layer more activities onto it. Because you can text while doing something else, texting does not seem to take time but give you time. And we have found ways of spending more time with friends and family in which we hardly give them any attention at all. The self-shaped in a world of rapid response measures success by calls made, emails answered, texts replied to, contacts reached. We insist our world is increasingly complex, yet we have created a culture of communication that has decreased the time available for us to sit and think uninterrupted. As we communicate in ways that ask for almost instantaneous responses, we don't allow sufficient space to consider complicated problems. Independence lost. Adolescence autonomy is not just about separation from parents. Adolescents also need to separate from each other. They experience their friendship as both sustaining and constraining. What is not being cultivated here is the ability to be alone and reflect on one's emotions in private. On the contrary, teenagers report discomfort when they are without their cell phones. They need to be connected in order to feel like themselves. Put in a more positive way, teenagers share feelings as part of discovering them. No need to call. Alone with your thoughts, yet in contact with an almost tangible fantasy of the other, you feel free to play. Online, you have a chance to write yourself into the person you want to be and imagine others as you wish them to be, constructing them for your purposes. It is a seductive but dangerous habit of mind. When you cultivate this sensibility, a telephone call can seem fearsome because it reveals too much. Temptation. Many people who enjoy computer games have asked, "What's my problem? Nothing is wrong with them." But looking to games for amusement is one thing. Looking to them for a life is another. When online life becomes your game, there are new complications. If lonely, you can find continual connection, but this may leave you more isolated without real people around you. So you may return to the internet for another hit of what feels like connection. Longing for attention. Children have always competed for their parents' attention, but this generation has experienced something new. Previously, children had to deal with parents being off with work, friends, or each other. Today, children contend with parents who are physically close, tantalisingly so, but mentally elsewhere. It's commonplace to hear children from the age of 8 through teen years describe the frustration of trying to get the attention of their multitasking parents. Now these same children are insecure about having each other's attention. Forbidden experiments. Why do we want robots to care for us? We understand the virtues of partnership with a robot in space, medicine, and the dangers of working conditions. But why are we so keen to care? It seems transgressive, a forbidden experiment. The most common justification for the delegation of care to robots focuses on things being equal for the person receiving care. Providing substitutes for human care may not be equal in the least. When we lose the burden of care, we begin to give up on our concept that human beings will care for other human beings. The developmental implications of children taking robots as models are unknown, potentially disastrous. Humans need to be surrounded by human touch, faces, and voices. Humans need to be brought up by humans. What to want? These days, looking at sociable robots and digitalized friends, one might assume that what we want is to be always in touch and never alone, no matter who or what we are in touch with. One might assume that what we want is a preponderance of weak ties, the informal networks and underpin online acquaintanceship. But if we pay attention to the real consequences of what we think we want, we may discover what we really want. We may want some stillness and solitude, as we put in many hours of typing with all fingers or just thumbs. We may discover that we miss the human voice. We may decide that it's fine to play chess with a robot, but the robots are unfit for any conversation about family or friends.